Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael, and I am reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, February 20th, 2022. A couple of opening remarks before we begin this week's readings. First of all, we are no longer reading anything about the coronavirus news from the San Angelo newspaper because both of the vaccination news articles and also the articles regarding how many people who are in the hospital, those articles don't seem to be published at this point. So that's why we haven't been reading those. Secondly, the first article that we have today is a report about the weather, the wintry weather around the Concho Valley area. And by the time this airs, those forecasts will be out of date. So I'm going to skip that first article and begin with the second one. Asian market opens on Bell Street in San Angelo on Thursday. By Rosanna Frere, published February 24th. A new Asian market opened on Bell Street in San Angelo on Thursday, February 24th. Puzzles Asian Market, 1 North Bell Street, sells a variety of ingredients, vegetables, and frozen seafood from multiple Asian countries, including Vietnam, South Korea, the Philippines, and Thailand. We will have weekend specials that will be announced on our Facebook page a week in advance, such as live blue crabs, live crawfish, baylet eggs, fresh logan, lychee, and more, said Hai Pham, a co-owner of the store. Pham will run the store with Mike Nguyen and Dave Nguyen. We are already starting a vending service for several Asian restaurants in San Angelo and will be able to take in more large item requests after we get our logistics fully up and running, Pham said. Pham and his family are from Houston, but have owned the Super Shop convenience store at 2517 North Chadburn Street for the past 2.5 years. While operating here in San Angelo, we noticed that there is a large lack of all sorts of Asian ingredients, vegetables, and seafood, Pham said. We would like to bring them with us as we go back and forth from Houston. Pham said they planned to open another store and decided to make it an Asian market that would incorporate convenience store items, including beer, tobacco, vape, and CBD. Will the unique setup work? That was a big puzzle for us, he said. Pham said he hopes the Asian market provides San Angelo with the same foods he was missing. I feel that just by having the various items that our competitors lack will bring in new friends that are looking for ingredients like we once did, Pham said. Fire inside chimney damages San Angelo apartment building. Up to 3 people displaced. By John Tufts, published February 23rd. A San Angelo apartment building was damaged Wednesday by a fire, displacing up to 3 people on the eve of another Arctic cold front moving through the Concho Valley. As temperatures Wednesday, February 23rd, hovered in the low 20s, dozens of firefighters arrived at an apartment complex in the 4,000 block of West Loop 306 near Sunset Mall to contain a structure fire. The fire was contained within the chimney compartment itself, said Fred Barnett, battalion chief with the San Angelo Fire Department. It's not necessarily normal, but it does happen, he said. According to Barnett, the fire began on the ground floor from inside the chimney flue. Heat from burning construction material extended up to the second floor. San Angelo firefighters rushed to the scene to keep the blaze from spreading to other areas of the building, working as flecks of snow and ice fell to the ground. Complicating their efforts was the freezing weather conditions, however, which prevented firefighters from gaining access to the second-story roof. Everything is icy, so we couldn't actually put our personnel on the roof itself, Barnett said. There's a lot of damage to the apartments because we had to tear down a lot of sheetrock to make sure the fire was absolutely out. Up to three people Wednesday were displaced as a result of the fire. Members of the American Red Cross in San Angelo were seen that morning assisting people whose apartments were damaged. Officials said the cause of the fire is still under investigation. San Angelo woman dies after pickup found submerged in Lake Nasworthy. How to help the family. By Rosanna Frere, published February 23rd. A San Angelo woman died Sunday after police and firefighters found her pickup partially submerged in Lake Nasworthy, prompting local businesses to raise money for her family. On Sunday, February 20th, around 9:41 p.m., San Angelo police officers were dispatched to the 600 block of Knickerbocker Road for a major motor vehicle accident, according to Richard Espinoza, public information officer. When police arrived, they found two vehicles partially submerged in the lake. Officers learned that only one of the vehicles was occupied and entered into the water, Espinoza said. Officers were unable to extract the occupant, and SAFD arrived on the scene to assist with removing the occupant from the submerged vehicle. The occupant was transported to Shannon Medical Center and was pronounced deceased shortly after arriving, according to Espinoza. Friends and family took to social media soon after the incident, leaving condolences for Mandy Yvonne Gutierrez. Police identified the woman's legal name as Mandy Yvonne Lowry, 45. It was learned that Lowry was traveling south on Knickerbocker Road, left the roadway, and struck an unoccupied vehicle, causing both vehicles to fall down an embankment into Lake Nasworthy. The SAPD's Motors and Crime Scene Divisions arrived on scene to assist with the investigation. Here's how you can help her family. GoFundMe. Help Lay Mandy to Rest was created on Monday and had $500 raised of its $5,000 goal as of Tuesday afternoon. Lone Wolf Pub Benefit is on Saturday, February 26th at 115 Paint Rock Road, beginning at noon with music and food. The pub will be taking monetary donations to give to her family. For more information, call 325-651-5295. The Gin and Granary is helping the family with funeral expenses. Come in this week and fill Mandy's tip jar and grab a Queen Bee Martini or one of her favorites in honor of her, a Facebook post stated. Giz and Hums, 1425 West Beauregard Avenue, has a donation jar for the family of Mandy. Ms. Patty's Pub will host a benefit for Mandy Gutierrez at 26 North Main Street on Friday, February 25th at 11 a.m. There will be cheeseburgers and fry plates for sale for $10. All proceeds will be donated to the family. My Bar, 420 North Bell Street, has a tip jar dedicated to Mandy. Do you know of any more fundraisers for Mandy? Send details to Rosanna, R-O-S-A-N-N-A, dot Frere, F-R-A-I-R-E, at GoSanAngelo.com. San Angelo's annual date night to be held March 7th through the 10th, from staff reports, published February 22nd. San Angelo's annual date night event will be held March 7th through the 10th at the McNeese Convention Center, 501 Rio Concho Drive. Held since 1990, the event, hosted by the City of San Angelo's Recreation Department, gives girls and boys ages 5 to 13 a special night during which they are the sole focus of their parents' attention. This year's event includes music from a DJ, dancing, snacks, door prizes, and the opportunity to purchase photos and mementos. Daddy-daughter date nights will be held Monday, March 7th and Wednesday, March 9th. Mother-son date night will be Tuesday, March 8th. Family date night, which includes a catered dinner, will be Thursday, March 10th. Each night will be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tickets cost $12 each for the first three nights and $20 for the final night. For more information, call the Recreation Office at 325-657-4450. How hot is the real estate market in the San Angelo area? Home prices rose year over year. By Sean Lehman, USA Today Network, published February 22nd. The median sales price for a single-family home in Tom Green County during November was $214,762. That's an increase of 9.9% compared with November 2020, according to a USA Today Network localized analysis generated with data from Realtor.com. The number of houses sold fell by 10.4% from a year earlier. A total of 120 houses were sold countywide during the month of November. During the same period a year earlier, 134 single-family homes were sold. Real estate sales can take weeks or months to be recorded and collected. This is the latest data made available through Realtor.com to the USA Today Network. How hot is Tom Green County's real estate market in Texas? Information on your local housing markets is available through the USA Today Network with more data from Realtor.com. The top 10% of the properties sold had prices of at least $365,000, up 18.2% from a year before. In November, no property sold for $1 million or more. The median home sale price, the midway point of all houses or units sold over a period of time, is used in this report instead of the average home sale price because experts say the median offers a more accurate view of what's happening in a market. In finding the average price, all prices of homes sold are added and then divided by the number of homes sold. This measure can be skewed by one low or high price. No Limits Monster Truck Show, returning to San Angelo in March, by Jay Moreno, special to the San Angelo Standard-Times, published February 22nd. Marking their fifth visit to San Angelo, the No Limits Monster Truck Show will return to the Foster Communications Coliseum at 7 p.m. March 12th. Competitive monster trucks such as King Crunch, Wicked Sickness, Rat Attack, Barefoot, Monster Patrol, and Outlaw Wrangler will appear as part of the No Limits Monster Trucks Winter Nationals competition. Tickets are currently on sale and can be purchased at www.stubwire.com. Besides the seven monster trucks, there will be hooligan mini bike and lawnmower races, which No Limits refer to as motorized gladiators. In addition, crazy tough truck drivers will be featured in a competition for hot rodder drivers, bringing in old pickup trucks, Jeeps, and demo derby cars. People can enter as long as they have a current driver's license. Kids ages 3 to 9 can be part of the show by racing with battery-powered power wheels. Classes will be provided and entries are limited. For more information, visit www.NoLimitsMonsterTrucks.com or call 940-683-4742. Tom Green County deputies find more than 8 pounds of marijuana at San Angelo residence, by Rosanna Frere, published February 21st. A San Angelo man was arrested Friday after deputies with the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office found more than 8 pounds of marijuana during a search warrant at a residence, according to a news release. On Friday, February 18th, the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office conducted a search warrant at a residence in the 200 block of West 2nd Street during a narcotics investigation. The execution of the search warrant yielded in excess of 8 pounds of packaged marijuana, as well as over $1,600 in cash, the release stated. Investigators also seized 11 grams of THC, according to the release. Authorities arrested Eric Colster, 45, and charged him with felony offense of possession of marijuana between 5 and 50 pounds and possession of controlled substance. He was released on February 19th on bond, according to online court records. This remains an active investigation, and additional charges are possible, according to the release. Abilene teen becomes fourth charged with capital murder in Tom Green County, by Rosanna Frere, published February 21st. An Abilene teen has become the fourth person charged with capital murder in the death of Jacob Hernandez in Tom Green County. Abilene police announced they were searching for Amethyst Elia Deonda, 17, on February 15th in connection to a homicide on May 26th, 2021. She is wanted for homicide out of Tom Green County, according to a department post on social media, asking for the public's help. She has ties to Abilene. 5 days prior, they arrested Eric Anthony Aguyan, 18, on suspicion of capital murder in Tom Green County. Both teens are listed as co-defendants with David Alexander Rodriguez, 23, of San Angelo, and Francisco Morales, 17, of Abilene. All four are charged in connection to the May shooting death of Jacob Hernandez in San Angelo, according to court documents. Deonda was indicted on February 2nd with a bond of $500,000, according to court documents. What we know about the robbery turned homicide. On December 1st, 2021, police investigated Morales in Taylor County Jail. He said he had been communicating with another man who he refused to identify from May 25th to 26th about committing a lick, a criminal incident, according to court documents. Investigators spoke to Deonda and Aguian on June 22nd, who stated they and Morales traveled to San Angelo. They arrived at a house where a man, later identified as Rodriguez, entered the vehicle and drove them to a location where Morales picked up a gun, record state. They then drove to Lily Street and entered the apartment where Morales said he fired the gun and left the firearm in the area. Investigators obtained Facebook messages and phone data from the Abilene teens, which led them to Rodriguez. While messages had been deleted, phone records placed Rodriguez with the group at Lily Street around 3:20 a.m. May 26th. Video surveillance from the apartment also showed a dark-colored sedan enter the parking lot and two people wearing garments and face coverings to hide their identities enter the apartment, record state. About 3:24 a.m. May 26, 2021, police arrived at an apartment in the 2400 block of Lily Street to a reported shooting. An officer found a gun on the apartment steps and damage to the front door frame and lock, according to an arrest affidavit. Officers found Jacob Hernandez, 26, lying on his back on a bed with a fatal gunshot wound to the chest. A final salute. Life of former San Angelo Fire Chief Daryl Eddy celebrated, by Charles Bryce, published February 20th. A large congregation at Southgate Church of Christ celebrated the life of former San Angelo Fire Chief Daryl Eddy on Saturday, February 19th. The 81-year-old passed away peacefully at his home Monday, February 14th. A Brady native, he graduated from San Angelo Central High School and served for 3 years in the United States Army, including a deployment to Germany before receiving an honorable discharge. Eddy moved his family to San Angelo in the early days of World War II to work on aircraft at Goodfellow Air Force Base. He joined the San Angelo Fire Department in 1965 and retired 28 years later as a fire chief. A man of many talents, Eddy has the distinction of being the only SAFD firefighter to hold every rank and position in the department. Early voting turnout for March 1st primaries signals more excitement on the Republican side. The advantage in the 2022 midterms looks to be with the GOP, and that shows up in the first few days of early voting. By John C. Mortiz, Corpus Christi Caller Times, published February 20th. Austin. Republicans across the state appear more far energized than Democrats heading into the March 1st primaries. Turnout numbers from the first 4 days of early voting suggest. Statewide, nearly 120,000 more voters showed up for Republican primary races than Democrats have managed to attract in the first 4 days of early voting. This is Democrats swimming against the tide, said Cal Gilson, an author and political science professor at Dallas's Southern Methodist University. Republicans are feeling pretty confident. It's a midterm, so turnout is going to be down. But while enthusiasm in 18 was on the Democrat side, in 2022 it feels more on the Republican side. Early voting ends February 25th. Looking at early voting turnout in specific regions and counties over 4 days of early voting, Republicans were continuing their decades-long domination of rural Texas, such as Tom Green and Taylor counties, and outpacing Democrats in some urban-suburban pockets like Harris and Tarrant counties. Turnout in Travis County for the Democrats was nearly 2-1 higher than for the GOP. Democratic turnout in Dallas and Bexar counties was also outpacing Republican turnout, but by smaller margins. Despite the Republicans' promise to break the Democrat stranglehold in South Texas, primary turnout so far shows the GOP running uphill. Turnout in Cameron County, anchored by Brownsville, was nearly 5 times as high for the Democrats as it was for the Republicans. In Webb County, home of Laredo, the margin was closer to 10-1. Hidalgo County, dominated by McAllen and Edinburgh, appeared to be the most competitive in terms of primary turnout, but Democrats still were showing a better than 2-1 advantage. Closer still was Nueces County in the coastal bend, where Republicans had a small majority of primary voters. A South Texas wild card could emerge in November, however, because the Republican-dominated legislature carved up South Texas in such a way to maximize the GOP's chances in several state house and congressional districts. While Democratic voters were outpacing Republicans in South Texas, it's still very much Republican territory out west. The GOP advantage in the Midland-Odessa region was about 8-1. In Lubbock, it was 4-1. Gilson said that while local contests for Congress, the legislature, and county races often drive primary turnout, especially in lopsided districts where the November elections are little more than an afterthought, statewide GOP primary turnout might be getting a boost because it has more high-profile statewide races. Governor Greg Abbott has two vocal, though underfunded, primary challengers, along with other less vocal and more underfunded candidates. On the Democratic side, only former Congressman Beto O'Rourke is drawing much attention. The four-way GOP race for attorney general is likely more intriguing, Gilson said. Two-term incumbent Ken Paxton, whose tenure has been clouded by indictment, is trying to fend off challenges from Land Commissioner George P. Bush, U.S. Representative Louis Gohmert of Tyler, and former Texas Supreme Court Justice Eva Guzman. The question is whether or not Paxton is going to run first, Gilson said, and whether or not he's held to a runoff, which would allow the opportunity of consolidation of his opponents. Double J Lamb, a success story in recruiting business to San Angelo, by John Tufts, published February 19th. Under the roar and hum of industrial-sized air conditioners, Jay Hasbrock stuffed his hands deep into his coat pockets before entering a freezer at his San Angelo meat processing plant. Hasbrock, clad in a black hard hat and white butcher coat, had to raise his voice over the noise to be heard by the group of people taking a tour of Double J Lamb Incorporated, 1146 City Farm Road. The facility recently underwent transformative renovations after being vacant for 15 years. moving from one corner of the factory to the next, Hasbrock appeared eager to show off what had been accomplished since September 2020 when the city of San Angelo leased land for Double J Lamb to set up its operations. "It's about 10 degrees below zero in here," Hasbrock said, surrounded by cardboard boxes of lamb product, some of which were tagged for pet food. Boxes of product for other uses could go out for delivery as fresh, or if their customers preferred, frozen at a later date. "We have a blast freezer we keep at minus 40 degrees, he said, gesturing toward another area on the factory floor. No one in the group asked to see or step inside the blast freezer, and Hasbrock, smiling, continued his tour of the meat processing plant he and others have labored to complete since October 2020. The approximately 65,000-square-foot facility can handle up to 2,100 head of lamb per day, depending on the supply, and ships products to both coasts. The plant currently employs a workforce of 78 people and has plans to hire more at a starting pay of $12.50 per hour. Getting the facility up and running didn't happen overnight. It took a concerted effort from officials who handled roadblocks and streamlined the process to help Hasbrock open the plant sooner rather than later. This was very much a cooperative effort that involved the Chamber of Commerce Economic Development Division, the City of San Angelo Development Corporation, the City of San Angelo Legal Department, and Tom Green County, said Guy Andrews, Director of Economic Development for the city. Andrews said he and other officials worked tirelessly through multiple meetings and phone calls to match the needs and timeline of Double J Lamb, a process that took several weeks as opposed to several months. They hope Double J Lamb will reinvigorate San Angelo's sheep and goat industry, which Hasbrock said he's seen promising indicators that it already has. I didn't realize the impact that we would make on the lamb industry, but as soon as word got out that we purchased the lamb plant in San Angelo, instead of the lamb market going down, it went up, Hasbrock said. It went up about 30 cents a pound within the first week and has increased since. It often takes a very long time to see the benefits of our work, so it was so rewarding to see it all come together and benefit the community so quickly, said Teresa James, city attorney. Double J Lamb, a wonderful success story for San Angelo. Double J Lamb is a wonderful success story for the San Angelo community, said Michael Looney, local Chamber of Commerce vice president, who was there for the tour at Double J Lamb. Looney said recruiting the Colorado-based company was a win-win for the Concho Valley. It created new employment opportunities and restored a once-vacant facility back into operation. Ranchers can bring their livestock to a processing, fabrication, and shipping facility with minimal transportation costs, he said. The Double J Lamb of Texas facility creates a cost savings and invigorates lamb prices and delivery to market of the final product. Those transportation costs can add up. Hasbrock said shipping lamb from Colorado to San Angelo can run up to $3,000 per load, so he tries to buy as many lambs from area ranchers as possible. We have about 5,000 lambs at a local feedlot right now, and we try to keep that number the same, about 3,000 to 5,000 all the time. Other officials weighed in on why attracting the business to the region was so important. Economic development for a community is about creating jobs, growing the community's tax base, and serving the community as a whole, said District 1 City Council member Tommy Hebert. Hebert, who toured the meatpacking plant in early February, said he was impressed by the cleanliness of the facility and was surprised to learn it incorporated a kosher process to satisfy Jewish law. I didn't realize they brought the rabbis to San Angelo to oversee the kosher process and how involved in the actual processing of the animal they are, Hebert said. The rabbis not only blessed the lamb, but were involved with the processing and inspection of the lambs. The sheep and goat industry in San Angelo has long been one of the most important economic drivers of our community, San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter said in a message to the Standard Times. Agriculture has been a solid foundation for our economy. We need to continue to support the agriculture community because it brings so much value to our city, Gunter said. Thanks to efforts made by city, county, and economic leaders, the partnership between Double J Lamb and San Angelo appears to be strong, with Hasbrock recalling the impact he felt when he first considered opening the plant. I've been involved in meatpacking plants in Colorado and in New York, and you're never, welcome, the 71-year-old Hasbrock chuckled. There was always this pushback from other cities. We didn't know how or what would happen in San Angelo, he said. All I can say that I was amazed by the open arms and the welcome signs we got. We've never seen that before. Cristoval Vineyards awarded at high-profile wine competitions. By Jay Moreno. Special to the San Angelo Standard Times, published February 18th. A nearby winery earned numerous awards recently in various competitions in and out of Texas. Cristoval Vineyards, located about 20 miles south of San Angelo, brought home 11 awards from four competitions. The biggest highlight was at the San Francisco Chronicle Wine Competition, where their 2018 Tempranillo won a double gold medal, meaning every judge declared it a gold medal wine. We're always thrilled and pleased when our wines appeal to our peers from within our state, but to have our Tempranillo win a double gold from the San Francisco Chronicle competition was really exciting, Cristoval Vineyards owner Wendy Neff said. The Tempranillo also won gold at the Texas International Wine Competition. Other highlights for the winery included their Petite Sirah being named Texas Class Champion at the Houston Rodeo Wine Competition, and their 2018 Montepulciano winning gold medals at the Texas International Wine Competition and the Lone Star International Wine Competition. Built in 2010, Cristoval Vineyards was acquired by Wendy and Bart Neff in 2019 as they were interested in finding a retirement gig. Wendy previously worked in medical device sales, while Bart, who has a PhD in organic chemistry, worked for Dow Chemical Company. Using their background in sales, marketing, and chemistry, the two attribute those skills as part of everyday operations. I felt like my training was all pretty applicable to keeping those things going, said Bart. Besides a vineyard and winery, the Chapel Event Center is also located on the property to hold weddings and special events. Last April, Cristoval Vineyards partnered with HEB to sell exclusive wine flavors at San Angelo stores. The couple has been in talks with the Texas retailer since 2019 to sell their wines, though plans were halted due to COVID-19. The management and the people at HEB were wonderful to us, Bart said. HEB does a nice thing and tries to find ways to help local producers. Whatever it may be, they try to carry local stuff in the stores. They were very receptive. As many businesses across the nation suffered throughout the ongoing pandemic, Cristoval Vineyards managed to stay afloat through pickup orders and by selling select wines at local retailer Pinky's Liquor during the lockdown. Pinky's just really supported us in the 3 years that we've been here, not really knowing what we were going to do once the pandemic hit, Wendy said. We were very grateful to have their support, especially during that rough time. Besides San Angelo and other parts of West Texas, Cristoval Vineyards receives customers from other parts of Texas, such as Dallas and San Antonio. Relatives of service members at Goodfellow Air Force Base often visit the winery as an attraction during their visit to the area, Wendy said. It is super unique. It doesn't look or feel at all like San Angelo, Wendy said. It really looks more like the hill country. So people come out here and they can sit for an hour or two and just relax. For more information on Cristoval Vineyards, visit www.cristovalvineyards.com. Fat Cats Gaming Moving to Downtown San Angelo by Rosanna Frere, published February 18th. Fat Cats Gaming is moving locations to downtown San Angelo and is adding LARPing gear to its sales floor. The store's manager, Jose Duran, said the gaming shop is moving from 2017 North Bryant Boulevard to 113 East Concho Avenue in the coming months. From a business perspective, this location that we're currently at is kind of a destination location, Duran said. We're lucky that Icon Cinema is next door because that will bring curious people over to us. We figured downtown would have a lot more passing foot traffic. Duran hopes the foot traffic will be high in their new area since Pokemon Go players have poke shops downtown. The new locations will offer more space than the current building and will have separate spaces for the play area and retail space. Duran said the store is planning on gathering new lines of products, including live-action role-play gear, also known as LARPing gear. Live-action role-play is where people get swords or fighting gear, typically made out of wood or foam, and then pretend they are knights and smack each other, Duran said. It sounds really dorky, but it's fun. It's not just them, but all the different groups, like the Dungeons and Dragons players, Magic players, media players. Their support is amazing and they are great people. Fat Cats will also be at Comic-Con at the Foster Communications Coliseum from February 18th through the 20th with 1.5 booths with board game demos and sales booths. Additional child sex abuse charges filed against San Angelo Man by Elena Edgen, published February 18th. More charges have been filed against a San Angelo man accused of sexually assaulting a 3-year-old, according to an indictment released on Wednesday, February 17th. The indictment, filed February 2nd, charged Rodney Allen Rhodes, 46, with indecency with a child by sexual contact and 2 counts of indecency by sexual exposure. Those charges occurred around March 11th and July 11th, 2020, according to court documents. The contact charge is a second-degree felony, punishable by up to 20 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. The exposures are third-degree felonies, punishable by a maximum of 10 years. In July 2020, Rhodes was arrested on suspicion of aggravated sexual assault of a child, 3, at the time. The child made an outcry of sexual abuse to a relative on July 13th, which prompted an investigation. Investigators learned from the relative that the child had returned from the man's home previously and stated they were in pain. The child also asked not to be hurt, according to court documents. An examination of the child's clothes revealed biological evidence of sexual assault, according to the affidavit. During an interview with officers in July, Rhodes said the charges were false, records state. The child is the same in all charges, according to the court documents. A court date has been scheduled for March, according to online court documents. Here is the column this week from Allison Watkins. Soil quality and overlooked first step in gardening. Published February 18th. When spring comes and the excitement builds to clean up the yard and start planting, don't skip the very important first step of soil improvement. Soil quality has such a big impact on growing success, but is often overlooked. While it's true that we need to select plants that are well adapted and tough to handle the local climate and soil, it's equally important to amend the soil with compost when planting. There is an exception. Don't work too hard trying to amend and improve soil for desert plants or those that prefer dry, rocky, lean soil, such as agaves, yuccas, etc. But for most of the traditional landscape, shrubs, turf grass, perennials, herbs, vegetables, and annual color, improving the soil makes a big difference in vigor, overall health, and drought tolerance. Good soil management is fairly simple. Incorporate compost when planting new plants and keep beds mulched. Till or dig up the beds and add 3 inches of organic matter, any good quality, well-finished compost. Then mix it in as deep as possible. Organic matter will improve drainage, aeration, nutrient absorption, and soil structure. After planting, keep a 3 to 4 inch deep layer of organic mulch maintained in the beds. Organic mulch, like shredded hardwood or cedar mulch, will provide many benefits to the plants, such as conserving water, moderating soil temperature, and preventing weeds. As time goes by, it will slowly break down and decompose into additional organic matter that will continue to improve soil. Just remember the phrase, compost once, mulch forever, and replenish mulch every year as it shrinks. Well-managed soil can reduce or even eliminate the need for fertilizers in many landscape scenarios. Overuse of fertilizers is harmful to the environment, and the first step to fertilize correctly is to simply do a soil test through Texas A&M. Many homeowners apply fertilizer on a set schedule, but if there are already enough nutrients in the soil, additional nutrients are unnecessary. Visit http://soiltesting.tamu.edu and use the urban soil submittal form to send in a soil sample. The report may indicate that no fertilizer is needed, or if some is needed, the report will show specifically what nutrients to apply and how much. If there is a particularly hard, compacted spot of ground that you'd like to turn into a vegetable garden, consider planting tillage radishes or long daikon white radishes as a cover crop right now to start breaking up the soil. They grow a large taproot that can loosen up and aerate soil so that subsequent crops perform better. They also make a great cover crop to suppress cool season annual weeds if the garden is not being utilized for winter crops. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu. And finally, earlier this month, I read an obituary about a former San Angelo Standard Times columnist. He was a community reporter and a very good writer. His name was Rick Smith. During the weeks that we have a few extra minutes in this hour of the San Angelo Standard Times news, I'm going to read a few archived columns by Rick Smith. I'll pick these out at random. This one that I've picked out for this week was originally published July 3rd, 1987, and it does give an interesting look at how Rick Smith looked at life and his humorous take on things. By the way, this column was written when he was not actually working at the Standard Times. Instead, it was written as a guest column when he worked for another newspaper. Art of Baby Holding, Mastered by Few Men, by Rick Smith. They have no handles. And even though babies look a bit like footballs, they arrive without handy leather laces to tell the fingers where to rest. Most men are culturally unprepared for the art of baby holding. After all, a baby can't be palmed like a basketball, or juggled like a bank account, or hoisted like a big mug of beer. A baby looks solid enough, sure, but try to pick one up. It's a little like lifting a 15-pound blob of squirming, formless jello. Think it's easy? Grab a baby under the armpits. Go right ahead. The arms go up and the baby comes down. Lift a baby by clutching its stomach and a chorus of grandmothers squawk, "Watch the neck! Watch the neck! Watch the neck!" Ah, the neck. High school sex education classes never warned about baby necks. Lamaze instructors never said a word. Only after the baby is born, only when a nurse prepares to hand the newborn to the father for the first time, does she casually mention, "Oh yeah, I almost forgot. Baby necks are about as brittle as uncooked spaghetti. Squeeze and you'll snap the kid's head right off." Nurses. For a new father, to watch a nurse in a hospital nursery is to know humility. Nurses handle babies as ho-hum as if they were flipping hamburgers. Over the baby goes onto its stomach. Under the stomach, her fingers slide. Up comes the baby, all in one fluid motion, all without snapping off the head. Amazing. When Annie was born 4.5 months ago, I hit upon a brilliant idea. Travel the country and photograph men's efforts to hold the same baby. Such a photographic essay, I imagined, would show not only a man's reaction to holding a baby, but the baby's reaction to the holder. To be artsy and democratic, I dreamed of using all sorts of subjects: bank presidents, highway-crazed hitchhikers, rodeo cowboys, convicts, and so on. Nurses need not apply. But mothers being what they are, my brilliant plan suffered severe setbacks. She immediately cut my cast of holders to include only a few trusted family members and friends. No hitchhikers, no bank presidents. And the eventual results were about what you might expect. Non-fathers and new fathers acted like they were picking up the flu. Experienced fathers were casual, fresh from the fray, numbed by scooping young children out of harm's way dozens of times a day. Holding one more baby was no big deal. Only grandfathers, having already served their time as non, new, and experienced fathers, seemed to truly have mastered the art of baby holding. Picking up a baby for them is like finding a pleasant memory long forgotten. No fear of floppy heads here. With the mechanics of infant lifting long behind them, grandfathers are free to concentrate on the best part of baby holding: the way a baby's hair smells pressed close to your nose, the wriggle of a tiny body snuggled tight and warm, the honest sigh of contentment when a baby's body finally declares, "Not bad. Not perfect, of course, and certainly not mom, but he'll do for now." Rick Smith writes for the Sherman Democrat. His column was distributed by the Associated Press. Smith, a former Standard Times columnist, demonstrated his baby-holding abilities during a recent visit to San Angelo. Published in the San Angelo Standard Times, July 3rd, 1987. And again, owing to a lack of local news this week, I'm going to read an additional article or two that have been taken from the newspapers.com archive website of newspapers from across the country. This will be from the San Angelo Standard Times, and the article or articles, depending on how much time we have to read, are about one of the most famous parts of San Angelo's skyline, and that is of the Cactus Hotel. This article was published Sunday morning, April 22nd, 1928, from the San Angelo Standard Times. The headline above the photograph: "Just Elevating San Angelo's Skyline." Plans for the Hilton Hotel at San Angelo are being rushed in the offices of Anton F. Korn, architect for the building. It is announced by B.B. Hall, owner, and C.N. Hilton, president of the Hilton Hotel Company lessee. The accompanying photograph of the architect's sketch presents the 14-story structure that will shortly be added to the San Angelo skyline on the corner of East Tuig and South Oaks. The Hilton Hotel Company is collaborating with the architect to produce a hotel that will have no superior in beauty, comfort, efficiency, and appointments in the entire Southwest. The building will be constructed of reinforced concrete, brick, and stone, and will be absolutely fireproof. The basement will house the various service departments of the hotel, including the engine and boiler room, refrigeration room, laundry, and quarters for the employees. There has also been arranged a large room suitable for club purposes, which will be artificially cooled. The ground floor will be divided into public lobby space for the guests of the hotel, a group of stores, a large coffee shop and dining room with a seating capacity for 250 persons, and a spacious, well-lighted kitchen. From the lobby, a grand staircase will lead to a mezzanine lounge. This lounge surrounds a well opening to the lobby floor and extends about two-thirds of the depth of the building, providing ample space for reading, writing, and rest. Opening directly to the mezzanine floor are the ballroom, three private dining rooms, beauty parlor, ladies' restroom, and a number of unusually spacious and particularly well-equipped guest rooms. The third floor is entirely devoted to sample rooms, which are roomy, well-lighted, and so arranged that they may be arranged to accommodate families on tour. The fourth to 14th floors, inclusive, are typical. Each floor will have 20 guest rooms, each with private bath and ceiling fan. The bathrooms will be tiled and will be equipped with the finest plumbing fixtures and with the usual bathroom accessories recessed in the walls. There are two high-speed elevators for use of the guests of the hotel, and a third and a service elevator. The coffee shop and dining room and the barber shop, as well as the club room in the basement, will be artificially cooled through the hotel's refrigeration system, the same system being used to supply running ice water to every guest room. In line with the best hotel practice, all rooms and corridors will be prepared, and the public space, which includes the ballroom, mezzanine lounge, lobby, and dining room, will receive special and unusual decorative treatment. The owners say the building must be as fine in every particular as can be possibly built, and the Hilton Hotel Company, operating hotels in Dallas, Abilene, and Waco, have announced that this hotel will in every respect equal and in some respects surpass any of their other hotels. And now I'll skip ahead to the May 31st, 1929 edition, which is a Friday, of the San Angelo Standard Times for this small article. Electric sign tells visitors of Hilton Hotel. Topping San Angelo's rapidly growing skyline, the new 14-story Hilton Hotel is the first evidence of this West Texas metropolis as a visitor enters the Concho Country. The large electric sign, Hilton Hotel, beaming forth a welcome to visitors as far away as 15 miles from the city. The large sign is seen for that distance south of the city as one drives over the 15-mile hill on the Cristobal Highway, and it is easily seen from other directions as persons enter the city. Though the sign looks comparatively small atop the 14-story structure, its letters are 12 feet tall and almost as wide, being by far the largest sign in the city. This small article also from Friday, May 31st, 1929. Mr. and Mrs. Hale honored as first Hilton guests here. The Hilton Hotel opened its doors this morning, and with flowers and the good wishes of scores of San Angelo business houses and hotels from this and neighboring cities, began its career as a business institution in this city. Mr. and Mrs. B.B. Hale were the first guests to register this morning. Other guests registered in rapid succession during the morning. The fifth floor was open for inspection all day, and hundreds of persons have been in the building today. The banquet tonight, which is by invitation, will begin at 7:30, and after a short program, there will be dancing. Mr. Anton Korn of Dallas, the wife of the architect of the hotel, will sing three solos. Now it looks like we skip ahead to Sunday, June 2nd, 1929, for a headline that would be very welcomed in June in West Texas and very unusual for the time. Iced air in Hilton Hotel. System turned on in dining room early Saturday morning. The iced air coffee shop of the new Hilton Hotel, with its 70 degrees of temperature, has proved a popular place in San Angelo since the opening of the new hotel Friday evening. Because of the rising thermometer in San Angelo the last 2 days, people have naturally gravitated to the air-cooled coffee shop and dining room at the Hilton. Though visitors who have thronged the lobbies, mezzanine, and guest rooms of the new Hilton since its opening have been loud in their praise of the hotel and its equipment and furnishings, the highest of compliments have been reserved for the coffee shop and dining room. Perhaps it is the beauty of the decorations that attracts the eye, or the completeness and simplicity of the equipment. But the management is inclined to believe that the refreshing coolness of the air that strikes one upon entering the coffee shop is the deciding weight in pronouncing the coffee shop and dining room perfect. It would take a mechanical engineer to describe the intricate machinery necessary to produce a steady, even flow of iced air through the coffee shop and dining room to maintain a temperature of 70 degrees, even in the hottest weather. Jets of spraying water may be seen on the roof, dampening the air as it is drawn through iced coils that are pumped into the rooms below. The equipment itself is of the highest type, selected with care, and this distinctive feature of Hilton's service is expected to prove a boon to all the people of San Angelo during the hot summer days.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.